Welcome, everybody, to Till Death Do We Play, a podcast where marriage and video games are the perfect union. My name is Andy, and as always, I'm joined by my wife, Allie. Allie? Hello?
Boo!
Okay. All right. I thought Discord cut out for a second.
Did I scare you? But... Nah, it was just me being a spooky.
Oh, okay. Well, that's clever that you did that, because it gets, that's that time of the year, you know?
Yay!
Mr., who's like a good horror icon?
Tim Burton?
Mr. Burton coming down our chimneys to scare us.
Oh, no, wait, I don't want that.
Yeah, every night, the 13 days of Halloween, I don't even know what I'm talking about. It's Halloween season, everybody.
And yay!
Yeah, we're getting this episode out just in time for Halloween. We're on a schedule here, which we don't really like. Which we put out an episode every 2 weeks now, which we don't like to do. I just wanted to say that we definitely are still a weekly podcast, but as I put it to Allie a couple days ago, the universe just keeps on cucking us, so it's hard for us to make episodes every week. But we can when we do when we can. That being said, we got a spooktacular episode for you guys today. Lots of scary games. We're going to be talking about different kinds of scary games that we played and haven't played because we're too scared to play, and scary games you could play now. What?
It's not my fault. I'm a coward.
And I'm a coward too. So
you're a little braver than I am. You were streaming Resident Evil 7 the other day.
Perfect time to stream it. Just like, what, 3 years after it came out? I finally built up the courage to play it. Yeah, and I only got about half an hour in.
Just in time for Resident Evil 8 to have been announced and already, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does it have a release date yet? I don't know.
I don't think so. I want to get spooked. I think I'm back on the spoop train with Phasmophobia, because we were playing that and I was like, oh, this would be a cool getting scared with your friends. And it was a good time. And I want some more things to scare me.
I have a love-hate relationship with it.
Yeah? Why is that?
Yeah. So I love the theme of it. I love the fact that a coward like I can literally just chill in the van while everybody else dies inside the house. Yeah. And the atmosphere is super spooky. Like, as soon as I step in that house, even though I know I am safe for at least 5 minutes before stuff goes down, I still get, like, super spooked. Like, something's gonna happen. I'm wondering who's living in this house. Why are they subjecting themselves to live in this house? But at the same time, there are certain levels, like the school level, where I get bored.
Yeah. No, because
nothing happens.
Yeah. I remember we were playing it when it was the first time we were playing it with a full team of four, and we were so excited to do the school because it was just not like a farmhouse, because there's like three different types of farmhouses in that game and like two or three regular suburban houses. And we were like, something different. The school is gigantic. The ghost was like not active at all. And it was a super boring level for us.
I think 15 minutes of nothing happening, and I think one of you died.
Yeah, we were like, we were walking around for, it had to have been more than 15 minutes, probably like 20, 25, and then we were like, okay, that's it, let's just get out of here. And we were walking down the steps to go, and the ghost just popped up and killed me. And it wasn't even
you've died every time.
Yeah, it was like no warning. It was just, okay, now I'm dead and I lost my stuff. Cool.
But, I remember seeing it and just going, oh no, there he is. Andy, watch out. Oh, he's just, you're dead.
Yeah. I believe there's also an asylum, which I would like to play. I would like to try out, but I hope it's just not another school. For me, like in Phasmophobia, the farmhouses seemed to be the best, and there was one farmhouse that spawned a Ouija board, and that was really cool because I didn't figure out how to use it until I died. But when I was playing with our friend Ryan, he figured it out, and he figured out what you were supposed to ask it, and it was like responding to him. But it's like, it seems like it's rare that they spawn. I don't know. Phasmophobia is a game that I really want to have a lot of stuff happen. Like I wanted to get a lot of polish and a lot of like updates and stuff to see what they could do, because it's really promising. I feel like they could make it even scarier. A lot of cool things with that, the kind of tech, with like the tech that's behind it. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially like, it seems like such a fun game to play with friends. Yeah. Like, I'd really like us all to get together and stream it, because it's really, really fun. Even though, like I said, I'm a coward and I just chill out in the truck, I'm still enjoying myself, except for those times where in the school, it was just 20, 25 minutes of nothing. Like, when we're at one of those houses, the farmhouses or the suburban houses, mm-hmm. Oh, I'm always looking, and half the time I can see the ghost in the room, but the person in the room can't. And I'm just like, run, they're going to come after you. Oh, they got him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good game. You mentioned that it would be fun to stream it. I would just throw out there, stream via Facebook and twitch.com/tilldestinyplay. We'll stream it, you know, whatever. Go check us out.
Yeah, that was English.
Yeah. Let's talk about some other games, because Phasmophobia is kind of like the new hot scary game.
Well, actually, I thought the new hot scary game that just came out was Amnesia Rebirth.
You're right. That had no impression on me because I've never played an Amnesia game. I've heard some people saying like lukewarm things about it, but have you read anything on it, or what's your experience with Amnesia?
I played. So now, reminder, the theme for this week's podcast is that I am a coward. With that being said, I actually did play Amnesia, the Dark Descent or the Darkness Descent. I honestly
can't
remember
just
which.
Dark Descent.
I think it's the Dark Descent, yeah. And I was told it was super scary, absolutely horrifying. I play it because I still want to at least try and pretend I'm not scared all the time. And I stopped playing it, not because I was scared, but because I got really, really bored.
Okay. The first Amnesia?
Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
So then Amnesia, A Machine for Pigs came out, and I didn't play that one, but I watched my friend play it from start to finish, and that one also wasn't all that scary. I think there was literally, like, at the very beginning, there was some spooky ghost-like activity that was happening, and that was kind of it. Beyond that, it almost felt more like an action-y kind of game to me. I know it wasn't, but it didn't scare me.
Mm-hmm.
And then this new one, I saw that Markiplier had put out an episode, I think yesterday or Friday, for it, and I think I actually asked you, like, did that game come out? And you're like, I have no idea. And it turns out, yeah, it's been out for like 5 days. And I just had no idea. There was, from what I saw, no hype for it. Yeah. And most of the reviews that I see under the helpful section on Steam are saying that it's not as fun as the other Amnesia games. From what I saw, a lot of people said that Amnesia, A Machine for Pigs, kind of like what I had said, it didn't really feel like a scare game. They had been hoping that they would return more to The Dark Descent, and I guess this one just doesn't quite do it. It is sitting at 70% positive reviews. But yeah, a lot of people that seem to really enjoy Amnesia are kind of meh about it.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of weird. Like, Amnesia, I think when that game came out, it was like a kind of like an indie hit, or like, you know, it felt like it came out of nowhere. It's like, oh, check out this new scary game. And with that popularity, there's kind of like a lot of pressure to follow up. And I don't know. I feel like, because I remember when Amnesia came out and like everybody was talking about it, and it was a huge game. And I feel like there's just like a huge bar to hit that won't, you know, like comparing Outlast 2 to Outlast, I don't think Outlast 2 did as well as Outlast did at all, you know?
So I actually think it was Amnesia that made PewDiePie and Markiplier and a few other streamers like really get their names out there. I think it actually helps create the whole Let's Play genre. That and Minecraft, to be honest. I feel like Amnesia, though, was the one where all of a sudden people were going to YouTube to watch people play video
games. As far as, like, reactionary stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As for Outlast, also, like, the series, I actually got through Outlast. I actually streamed the entirety of myself playing it back when Mixer was a thing. And I got spooked. The sewer area where you have to turn the valves and everything. Oh, I hated that. But for Outlast 2, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because I'm used to being in the backwoods with all the hicks and everything. But it's scarier.
So what's this, like, what's the setting of Outlast 2?
So in Outlast 2, you're literally in the middle of nowhere. It's super rural. It's literally almost think Wrong Turn, the movie series. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's like hill. I think it's inbred mutant cannibal hillbillies.
Mm-hmm.
And for Outlast 2, you are in the middle of nowhere in kind of a Jonestown-esque setting with super hicks. You find out they basically have super syphilis.
What?
Literally. Yeah, it's literally. Okay, so I guess spoilers. Yeah, Outlast 2, all the people look super deformed because the Jonestown-esque leader has super bad syphilis. And he keeps on having sex with all of the women in that area because he and all the rest of them believe that he's Jesus. So the wives are getting the syphilis, and then they're spreading it to the men, so the men have syphilis, so everybody has syphilis. And that's why they're all scary looking.
I don't know that much about STDs. I didn't know that that changes your appearance, or does it affect, like, birth? Like, defects and stuff?
I won't lie, I never really took much of an interest in STDs because it's not a hot topic for me. But yeah, I just know, like, it's super syphilis that has infected them.
You use the word super, which makes it, you know, far worse than regular. So yeah, there's that. Yeah, there's your explanation.
I don't think it can really get as bad as Outlast 2 makes it out to be. I just know, like, there's this whole thing where you can find a note where the leader was asking this random Joe Schmo of the area to get medicine for him. And if you look up what that medicine is, it is, like, syphilis meds. So he's able to at least look normal, but everybody else is just basically screwed. Literally and figuratively. But yeah, and then because of how it is, if you get in that area, if you're one of the villagers whose syphilis has gotten too bad, then you're cast out. And so they're creating their own little tribe under a transgendered woman. And then, like, those two things are clashing fiercely. It is just a complete crap show. It's so bad. And you're just stuck in the middle of it trying to find your wife.
Wow.
I can't remember what her name is. I just know that I'm trying to find her, and I just kind of want to leave her behind because I got this one really tall chick chasing me with, like, a scythe or something, and there's all these people that are ugly.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm excited to play more of Resident Evil 7 because that kind of sounds like it starts out similar, because in the beginning of Resident Evil 7, you're going to look for your wife, but that gets resolved in the first half hour of the game, and I have no idea what to expect after this.
I've watched a Let's Play of that, but I will not say any spoilers because I know you absolutely hate spoilers.
Yeah,
in regards to games that you are playing. I know you weren't going to be playing Outlast 2.
Yeah. But yeah, I was, you know, doing some research before this episode on just, like, some of the scariest games out there. One, because I'm looking for scarier things to play now, and two, I haven't played a lot of scary games. One of the scariest games on the list, like, it was just across the board, wasn't a game at all, and I think it's worth talking about. It's one of the scariest experiences of this past generation, which was PT. Did you ever play that on the PS4?
Oh yeah, my base PlayStation I think still has it.
Oh, it's pretty it's pretty rare, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, PT was stood for playable teaser. It came out a couple years ago, before Kojima split from Konami. It was a teaser for a new Silent Hills game that got canceled. Terrifying experience. It kind of made you feel like you were going insane, and I don't think I ever finished it, but I played it a lot, and not a lot, but as much as you could play basically a single room game, and I got scared a ton. So, it basically just has you going through this one floor of this house, like down a hallway and then through a door. When you go through a door, you come out at the beginning of the hallway again. And different things happen. I know that there's like an order in which you're supposed to do things and stuff, but I never figure that out. But if you, waste enough time or do something wrong, you get spooked by a ghost. I think it came out recently, like someone hacked the game, because this is like, PT was like a phenomenon. I know it was downloaded from the PlayStation Store over a million times within the month that it was announced or when it came out. And people are still like rummaging through the code of it and trying to figure stuff out. And I think one of the most recent pieces of news on it that came out was the ghost is always right behind you. Like they moved the camera and it's just always following you.
Oh, that makes me uncomfortable. Yeah. That makes me comfortable.
It's always behind you. Yeah.
Okay.
I think the closest like thing I ever saw to like the ghost outside of a regular jump scare was, I know that there's one of the cycles of walking through the room, it's like standing on one of the balconies or something, looking down at you. And just, I love that little eerie stuff that you could miss, but it's not directly trying to scare you, but if it's just there, it's terrifying. Like, we just watched The New Haunting on Netflix, and one of our like favorite things to do in that is just to watch for all of the ghosts that are just standing there, you know? That stuff's like terrifying to me. Right in the beginning of Resident Evil 7, there's you're in broad daylight and you're trying to get into this house, and you turn a corner and there's just like a normal guy. He's just walking, but he just comes out of nowhere and just like, you're all alone in this swamp and you just see one guy kind of like walk, and nothing about it implies that it should be scary. If anything, if I was in that situation, I would probably be like, hey man, can you help me? I'm trying to get, but like that doesn't happen. And it's just so much scarier. I love little, little detailed things like that, I guess you would say.
I remember in PC, there was like a weird fetus in the sink.
Yeah, that was one of the, I can't even remember what triggered those things. If it was just the amount of times that you went through it, or if you had to interact with stuff.
I think you had to interact, because I remember, so me and Andy went to the same college, and when PT did come out, for I think one of the Halloween events, we tried to get through PT, like it was for the video games club. And it just kept on looping and looping and looping. And I think the fetus appears on like the third or fourth loop or something like that. But it's like, it's pretty much always there. But then like, I remember we actually were just like, all right, this isn't really spooky or like fun anymore. watching this guy trying to get through it and he's not doing it. Can we do something else?
Yeah.
I wonder what Hideo Kojima's whole thing is with fetuses and babies.
I don't know.
Because, from thinking about this, so PT, they definitely made it to where, I can't remember what the ghost's name was. Was it like Jessica or Jennifer or something like that?
Oh, I can't. I don't have that knowledge.
Rebecca, something like that.
Rebecca sounds right.
Rebecca. I know she was like pregnant or something from what people had figured out, and then there's the assumption that it was her baby.
Lisa.
Okay, I was entirely off on every single one of the stereotypical pumpkin spice girl names that I could have come up with, but Lisa was pregnant.
Yeah.
I think there's another Resident Evil where the girl was pregnant, Or no, not Resident Evil, Silent Hill. There was another Silent Hill where they were pregnant, but I don't really play a whole lot of Silent Hills. But then we had Death Stranding, and that's all about BB.
Mm-hmm.
The little baby that's, I guess, caused by a stillborn. I don't fully understand that part of it, but I'm just wondering what Hideo Kojima's got with babies and fetuses.
Anything. I think it's more of like a, not a gross out factor, but just like a, how weird can you get? That guy just loves being weird.
Yeah. I mean, he's successful with it, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's kind of funny because, you know, BB, the baby from Death Stranding, is a fully formed baby. I remember the fetus in PT was back when I think you're still forming your eyes and everything. So it just looks like a monster. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, no, that's pretty pretty accurate to what a fetus looks like at a, I don't know, maybe like 20-week time stamp. Put a little stamper on that.
Mm.
Get it out to market.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So all these games that we're talking about, they're first person, you know, walk through it, seeing it first person, which I think is probably one of the best ways to experience a horror game. But there's a lot of games out there too that are from different perspectives. Like we have Limbo, Inside, Little Nightmares. They're 2D platform puzzle games, and they could be very, very terrifying at times. Like, I'm gonna say not nearly as terrifying as some of these other games, but they're still quite creepy. Like, I remember playing Limbo for the first time. Limbo is, everything is in silhouettes. You know, you don't know what's actually chasing you. You could only see the blacked out image of it. Very, very creepy experiences. So people are finding ways to show horror in plenty of different ways. I don't know where I was really going with that. I'm just kind of like looking at scary games and it just, you know, jumped out at me.
Well, I was going to say the reason for that is, you know, there is the main thing from PT, not Silent Hill so much, but Resident Evil 7 and Outlast is they're first person because the jump scares can get right into your face. And that's the perfect time to place a jump scare is when it's right in someone's face. But jump scares is not the only form of horror. And, you know, Limbo definitely did a really good job of just being creepy, showing that you don't need to just rely on jump scares in order to have a successful horror. One game that did do jump scares very well that I actually did play through was Dead Space.
Oh my God, yeah, Dead Space. I can't remember if I played through the entirety of Dead Space 1. But that I just remember, like, I probably didn't, because really only the beginning of the game stands out to me. But like when you kill your first what were they called? I can't even remember what they were called. It wasn't like
for some reason necromancers came to mind, but that's not it.
They might be like
necro something.
It might be like necromorphs or something.
Here, let me quickly check.
I was thinking of xenomorph or necro, but I just remember like the first time you kill one and it pops back to life. It was necromorph. Terrifying. Oh, it is necromorph. Cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a very spooky game. I mean, you're completely by yourself in space. Like you're, I can't remember the main character's name, but you're basically like
an Isaac.
Yeah. You're basically like an electrician or something, right? Like you're not.
He's like a maintenance man. I think he's like an engineer.
Yeah. So you have to go around and like, I can't remember the premise. That would be such a good game to replay, or if they did like a remastered trilogy or something like that. But that was just horrifying. Anything kind of with space, I get like on top of all the horror that's going on, I get like a claustrophobic feel to it. So like I wanted to play Alien Isolation, but I haven't been able to bring myself to do that yet.
So I actually think the scariest part of Dead Space for me was not the necromorphs. Like they were uncomfortable. They made me super, super freaked out. But I remember one of the main things was that you couldn't really trust what Isaac was seeing because I think he was like going through his own kind of mental fear stuff, and that was one of the themes in the game. But I remember there was this one part where I kept hearing a thud, thud, thud. And I was like, the hell is that? So I'm looking around to try and find it. And then I see this man in the corner banging his head against the wall. And I'm just like, dude, are you okay? And when you get closer to him, the guy just like, you know, he keeps banging his head for a little bit longer. And then you get like pretty close to him and he just smashes his head against it and he falls backwards and you see his entire torso is missing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, I don't remember that part. I'm not okay with this.
That kind of reminds me of, not really, but for whatever reason, when you were saying that, it brought up a memory of when I first played BioShock. And BioShock was a game that I played, I believe it came out in 2006. I played it in 2012, at least 2012, because I know I played like BioShock 1 and 2 right before BioShock Infinite came out. But BioShock always seemed like a terrifying game to me, and I just never wanted to play it. And it's a really creepy game, but when you start playing it, it's more of an action and just kind of like a dark setting.
Yeah,
there's definitely still some, I guess it's way more suspense than anything. I thought it was going to be straight up horror, but it's just kind of a suspense game. But there was one part in the game that I literally just jumped at. There was something that you had to collect, or if it was like it was just like an audio recording. Like there's audio recordings spread out through the game, and this one room had you go into a corner and listen to it, and it just, as soon as you hit play and it knew that you had your back to the camera, which I guess you always do, but whatever. it puts like a statue behind you and you turn around, there's just a statue there, and it freaked the crap out of me. And it turned out to be, I'm pretty sure the statue like was actually like a splicer who was just standing still and then they attacked. But again, like anytime a game recognizes that you're doing something, so it's going to take advantage of that to get the scare off, or like the, you know, catch you off guard, is like so cool. But yeah, that was probably, I was so scared of BioShock, and I mean, saying that, I was like, I was probably like 19 at that time when it came out, or when I played it in 2012, and I was so scared to do that. But BioShock is an amazing game.
I remember when it first came out, there were a lot of articles that were saying that it's like the scariest game of the century. And like, I had a few friends that played it and they were like, oh my God, I was playing it. I had all the lights off and I got too scared, so I had to stop. And when I first played it, I got to the point with the guy who would cut up people's faces, even though he was like supposed to be a plastic surgeon making them more beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And that freaked me out. The part that made me stop was when I was in the morgue and I saw a shadow of a splicer going into one of the cadaver slide bed things. Yeah. I can't remember what they're called, but I knew they were there and I saw the one move. So I went over and I opened it because I'm like, I'm going to kill this mofo right here and now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was empty. That jerk came up behind me because the beds went to the other side where there's a hall so they could just go right around you. And that was when I was like, I'm done. But I played it recently, like maybe like a few months ago, and it's just not scary to me at this point. Like I'm just going through, the same thing happened, but this time I remembered that he does that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, as soon as I hit that door, I saw him coming up and I just like started blasting him with bullets. It's like, you ain't gonna get me twice.
Yeah.
Not twice, fam. And then after that, it's just not scary.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've ever replayed a game that I initially found scary. Like if I beat it all the way, I don't think I ever went back to put myself through that again.
I do, because there's like so many, it doesn't take much to scare me, but I love horror. Mm-hmm. For what it is. Like, I don't like jump scares. I think they're very cheap, but I love dark settings.
Yeah.
So if there's a game that has a dark setting, even if there's jump scares, I still want to try and will myself to play it.
Yeah. That's
but let true. Me tell you what.
What?
There is one game. Have you ever heard of Condemned 2?
I've heard of the franchise Condemned. I think I only know like Condemned Criminal Origins or something.
So I never played the first Condemned, but I played Condemned 2. I have an absolute fear of bathrooms. As dumb as that sounds, I know. But I am absolutely terrified of them because every single time when you see the mirror and it's a medicine cabinet, I'm always terrified that when I open it and then I close it, someone's going to be behind me. So one of the first times when I'm playing this game, I know they're going to do it. There's so many medicine cabinets. They all have pills that I need to take. And finally, I get to the one. And it's where you're at is an abandoned apartment that's literally full of meth heads. Like, that's literally the whole premise. There's nothing but druggies in here.
Mm.
And sure enough, there's one behind me, and I scream. But that wasn't what made me stop playing the game. So apparently, I didn't even really get to the scary part because there's this whole thing with a bear chase that is absolutely insane.
What kind of game is this?
It's a really spooky game. I won't lie.
We got bear chases and meth heads and.
Well, because each chapter is in a different location. So I get through the apartment chapter and I got past another one. And I can't remember what that other chapter was, but then I remember I got to a factory. And it's a doll factory.
Hmm. I know where this is going.
And there is a woman in this factory who is absolutely insane. And there's this one part where you're standing on top of a balcony and you see this man wandering in through one of those large truck doors that, you know, they open them up and the truck backs in and then they unload everything, all their cargo. And this man's walking in and you see this doll on the ground. He's just like, oh, what the heck is this? And he's walking in and I'm just going to myself, why the hell would you walk into an abandoned factory? But he goes and he looks it over and he picks it up. And then the doll just has all of these horrible toys, like not toys, but like machine parts that come out and like grips the man and just like, I don't know if like saw blade came out or what, but it just mutilates this guy. So I'm freaking out because I'm like, well, I'm in a doll factory. So who knows what this crazy psycho chick has in here for me? Got me super scared. I made it through it. I beat her butt.
Mm-hmm.
But I was too freaked out to continue. But there's one where I guess you're in a log cabin and there's a bear that you just have to somehow, by going in behind the walls or something, escape from this bear. And if you just do one thing wrong, it immediately kills you.
Mm. I hate stuff like that.
Yeah, it's cheap, but it is scary. It is very, very scary.
Yeah. You know, games have been getting a lot better with that lately. And one of the games that we never finished, it kind of started off pretty good, but it started to fall really flat was... it was like the Dark Pictures anthology. I forget what it was called, but remember we...
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Man of Medea or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So like that has a lot of sequences where you could fail, like a quick time events or something. But it's not like, hey, you didn't press like X when you were supposed to, and now you have to redo it. Like the game will adapt and it'll remember that you didn't press X, but something will change. Like you won't make that jump, so you'll fall down and you have to like work through a different area or something like that, you know?
Yeah, but I hated the Man of Medan or Curse of Medan or whatever
I think I said Medea, which is
like, Medea's.
Yeah.
But I absolutely hated that. I remember we lost one of the characters, and I was like, well, here, you just mispressed one single button. Just, you know, reload. And you reloaded it, and it went right to the point where you had missed the button, and it wouldn't let you go back, so the dude just kept on dying. And I said, all right, I'm done.
Yeah. Which that was, I should say, because that kind of sounds like it contradicts the point that I just said about missing one button and someone dies. But I believe that at that point in the game, we were like, it was like a life or death situation, you know?
Yeah, it very much was.
It was like a critical point in the game. Yeah, I remember we tried doing that. I think we tried doing that with Until Dawn as well, which was the same developers.
We didn't lose anyone in Until Dawn.
Yeah.
We did very good.
Yeah. I think that was the first game that we've ever played together fully, like together, you know? I remember we tried, and this is going back to our college days too, we tried playing Dead Space 3, but we just stopped because it just was not a very good game.
Yeah, that one wasn't good at all. And you also did not have the PlayStation Plus membership. You had, like, the free month trial.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're an Xbox boy and I was a Sony girl.
Was, keyword.
I said, see you later. Boy.
Yeah. I don't know. Here's a question for you. This is something I wanted to touch on. Do you remember the first game you played that scared you?
Because
I do.
I think the so I had a very, very conservative or protective parents. So it took me a long time before I even got my first rated M game. Mm-hmm. But I remember I used to get trials for games on PlayStation Network. And one of them was, oh, I can't remember fully what it was called. It was like Siren or something like that. It was like a Japanese horror game. And it's apparently specifically dealt with mutilation and ghosts. And
was it Fatal Frame?
No, I did play Fatal Frame with a friend. And that one was also really spooky.
Mm-hmm.
But that came later. You know what? I think I'll probably go with that one, though, because that one I actually got to, like, play, and it wasn't just a trial game.
Mm-hmm.
It probably was Fatal Frame, because I had a, quote-quote, better Xbox that had Fatal Frame on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that was absolutely terrifying when I thought there was a ghost inside, and I, like, raised the camera up. And, yeah, there was a ghost inside. She was right in front of me with a broken neck. My friend literally fell out of the chair. She got so scared because she was the one playing it at the time. She tipped my chair backwards and fell over into the corner. I had to help pick her up.
Help.
That's what it was, a turtle on its back.
So the first time I remember being scared playing a video game is not from a game you would think. It wasn't a rated M game.
Was it Mario?
No.
Oh.
It was Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone for the PS1. And I got to the point in the game where you have to go into the Forbidden Forest and you see Voldemort for the first time. And it changed from happy Hogwarts castle flying broomsticks to walking around this spooky forest. And I had to stop playing it the one night, and then I couldn't go back to playing it until, like, my PS1 was set up in our living room, so I played in the living room. The living room lights had to be on. In the kitchen, which is right behind the living room, the lights had to be on, and my mom had to sit at the table. I mean, I was like six. I was like six, but
all the lights must be on, yeah. And I'm supervising.
I was like, Ma, just sit there for a second. Just stay here. Yeah, and the scene was over really quick. I mean, I didn't.
Wow, I thought I had a protective family. Never mind. Well, my parents never cared what I was playing.
But yeah, that was a first time I was like, video games could scare you. But
oh, I did just realize, though, you had like siblings, so they could get games that you probably weren't able to play, like Grand Theft Auto.
Well, no, I mean that was before Grand Theft Auto, really, because we started Grand Theft Auto with Vice City. And I remember when the Christmas I got a PS2, my brother knew that my mom was getting me a PS2, so he got all of us Vice City, and we were playing it. So, like, rated M games have never really been an issue in my family.
I think Vice City was the first Grand Theft Auto my mom 100%ed.
I remember that, yeah. But I know that they all really wanted to play Vice City on Christmas morning. And even though I was sitting there with Jack and Daxter and Dragon Ball Z Budokai, and I was like, it's okay, we could play Vice City. And boy, oh boy, sitting there on Christmas morning in the intro cutscene to Vice City, Tommy Vercetti is on the phone with someone, and he basically tells them that he's going to cut something off of a person and put it in an envelope and send it to them. So.
And you were just like, oh boy, I can't wait to play Jack and Daxter.
I just saw that. My mom and my dad was sitting at the kitchen table. My mom was making breakfast, and I just like my brothers were playing it, and I just like looked down and started reading the back cover of Jack and Daxter for the 10th time.
You're just like, they'll stop playing it.
I didn't hear it. Oh my God. But yeah.
In the beginning. Something about Eco, and that, yeah, I remember. The plants cannot remember, and then the rocks do not remember. Even the rocks do not remember.
Dang, Allie.
Yeah.
You got that in there. You got that knowledge.
Man. I listened to that so many times because there was one point where my Jack and Daxter got corrupted. So there was one time where I kept on trying so hard to get past his intro, but he would just say, in the beginning, 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 beginning. I was like,
I'm pretty sure I said this before though, but I've heard that so many times too, because I didn't have a PS2 memory card for the first 6 months of owning the console, because we thought PS1 memory cards would just work, but they didn't. So
right.
I would just replay Jack and Daxter every day.
You know, speaking of that, that reminds me. Do you remember how you had a Nintendo 64?
For a brief period of time, yeah.
So some games, like Banjo-Kazooie, would save. Mm-hmm. And like Smash Brothers would save. I had a game that I think was literally like Fantasy RPG the game or whatever. You played around as this dude with a little cowlick that sticks out. And he's like a wizard or something.
Was it Quest 64?
I think so. That game never saved. Ever.
It just didn't save? Or did you have... Oh yeah, this is absolutely the game you're thinking of, because the cover art is like a wizard.
You see, this was also back when I couldn't read. But I know the other games had at least autosave on them. For the life of me, I could never figure out how to save this game. Yep, that's it. Quest 64 with the pig man. I kept dying to the rat man every time without fail, and I would have to start all the way over back from the beginning, and I got so angry. I still don't know how it saves.
Oh, I typed in how to save Quest 64, and the thing that popped up is, in order to save Keldland, you must become a master of the magic arts. So it's like a walkthrough for the game. Like, no, I'm just...
I don't need the walkthrough. I need to literally know, how do you physically save it?
Wow, you have to go to an inn and talk to the person behind the desk. And that's
how
you save the game.
How am I supposed to know this? I can't read! I couldn't. That was literally my biggest downfall with the game, for why I stopped playing it. I didn't know how to do anything. I just knew if I pressed a button, he'd shoot some magic out. But beyond that... it was just press an A because the A button would pop up. I was really stupid as a kid.
Yeah.
It took me a long time to
learn. Oh, I didn't. I just said yeah in passing. I didn't mean to say yeah, you were stupid as a kid.
Yeah, you're stupid.
So.
That was a nightmare.
But yeah, I don't know. I think what we've learned here today is that we don't have much experience with scary games.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame. Like, you tell me about a movie or a TV show or anything like that. Oh, yeah, I can give you, like, all the info that I've collected. When it comes to, like, a game, though, I just get too scared.
It's just so much immersive and interactive. Interacting with the fear, I think, is the biggest thing. You know?
Yeah, I think what it is, if a game is good and it's scary, then I can't get through it. Yeah. If a game is bad and it's scary, though, then I'm fine.
It's like if you're watching a movie or a show and something's happening, you're like, oh, God, what's going to happen to them? But in a game, it's like, what's going to happen to me? You know?
Oh, no.
How's that for a deep thought?
The one thing I will say, though, there are a few scary games where as you play them, they still maintain the same level of scare that they had at the beginning.
Like, yeah.
I know, like, Evil Within, Resident Evil 7, Resident Evil 2 also to an extent. Like, pretty much, Outlast, because I can actually say Outlast. I got through that one, and Dead Space. The more I played those ones, the less scary they got to me. They turned almost more to an action-y kind of thing.
Okay.
So I don't know if they're supposed to or not, but yeah, I remember even with Outlast, there is a doctor that you're up against, and at first he was really scary to me, and then he just got me so angry. Because he'd keep on, like, killing me. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. And I just got so mad that the rest of the game just wasn't scary to me. There's one part where you can't see anything. It's night. There's a lightning storm or a thunderstorm going on. There's all these massive pigmen that can, like, kill you in one shot. And I just didn't care. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm just leaving.
I could totally see that. Because, like, if it's like a, like, I guess the horror game equivalent of like a boss fight or something, and you die and you have to restart, and they're saying the same line over and over again, and you're seeing it over and over again, it becomes less scary and more like, okay, like, let's just get this over with, you know?
I think that's what happened. Like, especially me, when I get angry with something, I'm just done. I'm like, I don't care what you have to say. I'm not playing through your atmosphere anymore. I want to get through this and continue on with my life. Mm-hmm. And as soon as that happens, like, literally nothing will scare me. I'm just no more.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it takes a lot to get me mad in a game.
So, yeah, I think that about does it for our spooky portion of the podcast. Nothing else really comes to mind. And like I said, we don't have too much experience with scary games. But, I'm looking forward to getting back into Resident Evil 7 because I saw Resident Evil 8 get announced and it looks really, really cool. So, and I want to play through the rest of 7.
I agree. It looks like It's got werewolves in it and I love werewolves.
Like, what a crazy turn. why don't we move into what else we've been playing? So what else have you been playing this week?
This week, I got really into Final Fantasy 15, aka Boy Band Road Trip Simulator.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just really wanted to play it. I saw it there. I saw the new monitor that I bought for absolutely no reason besides Prime Day savings. And I've just been playing it, and it hasn't been too bad this time around. I know before I tried to play it because I got it back when it first came out before all these patches and updates supposedly made it better. So when I played it, I didn't care for basically anyone. I couldn't remember two of the characters' names, and it really bored me. But apparently the patches have made it better. Right now, I haven't seen any actual improvements, but I got a chocobo, so that's pretty choice.
That's what I'm talking about. I haven't been playing much. I played Call of Duty for the first time in a couple months the other night to do the to check out the like Halloween Warzone event, which really isn't anything cool. Like, it's like if you die you just turn into a zombie and you could come back, but basically by the end whoever's left over is just like whoever's like the last person remaining is just swarmed by a horde of zombies. It's all right. I mean, it's whatever. It's just a Halloween event. I'm planning on playing the new Pokemon DLC. I have not played that yet, so hopefully I'll be able to talk about that next week. And I tried Slay the Spire on Xbox, and that is a very cool game. I really enjoy it. It's like kind of like a roguelite card game where you collect cards and you play cards to attack your enemies. So like one card will do like 6 damage or another card will like add 5 defense. And it's pretty simple, but I feel like the game is going to open up and there's going to be a lot more complex cards you could get and things.
I play as a poison lady. I care what her thing is, but yeah. I know she's got like poison needles or something like that.
I should say that I played it on my phone using xCloud, or I don't even know if that's what they call it. I think it's just Game Pass Cloud, whatever. Played it on my phone using touch control. So I didn't even use a controller. So because I figured that game would be easy enough. You would just press A and use the arrows to select what cards you want. And it ran perfect. It ran great.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's about it. Besides, you know, the daily grind in Mario Kart on my phone, which for whatever reason I'm like addicted to lately. But yeah, that's all I got. Not much gaming lately. Getting ready for the new games coming out.
Like Assassin's Creed Valhalla and Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited for both of those. It's going to be a big hit to my wallet, but I really, really want them.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess that's it for this week. Really good to be back. And before we go, guys, it would be awesome if you left us a review on iTunes or anywhere you guys listen to us that allows reviews. And if you guys could check us out online, we are everywhere. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, YouTube, LinkedIn. No, we're not on LinkedIn.
We're not on LinkedIn.
But
yeah,
but Till Death Do We Play. If you type it in, we're on pretty much everything. And we also have a website. Our website launched. It's tilldeathweplay.com. You could see all of our you could listen to all of our podcasts there. You could watch our videos there. And we're trying to post more like written content, like articles and reviews and stuff. That's you know, a work in progress, but we do have a review I wrote of Marvel's Avengers up for your reading pleasure. Very exciting stuff. Allie, why don't you tell people where they can listen to us?
You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Radio Public, Pocket Casts, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Breaker, and Anchor.
And Stitcher.
Actually, we are not on Stitcher.
Yes, we are. I made the account my dang self.
Oh, well then, that is not
the reason
our standard listing.
The reason you don't see that is because our podcast network thing is through Anchor, and Anchor is not connected to Stitcher.
Well, that's all we got today, everybody.
Do you have the last words?
Why couldn't I read when I was six? I could have probably beaten Quest 64 by now.
I didn't know you when you were six. I wish I could wish I'd be able to help you, but I'd only be seven at the time.
I just, man, don't get syphilis.
Quest 64. Whoa. All right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.